Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Are you wearing a mask this morning? I know it's a little bit of a different take on this, but if you walk with me around this text, we'll be able to make some sense of it.
Come on now.
A legitimate question to everybody in this place. Do you struggle to be the same person on Sunday morning that you are during the rest of the week?
Yeah.
Are you brave enough to raise your hand in here and say yes? Does it drive you nuts that you are different when you walk into this place than you are out there with other folks? We just went through the Halloween season and there were kids that traveled with parents around neighborhoods dressed in costumes and masks for the sole purpose of candy. Some of us have grown too old to travel door to door and ask for candy. I just go to Walgreens and get mine. But some of us have not outgrown the need to wear a mask.
Uh-huh.
Are you with me this morning? Your mask may not be visible or physical, but it's there. And I ask the question, who are you? And I mean, really, who are you this morning?
Yeah, definitely.
Does it have you frustrated and confused? Many believe that we're struggling to be the same person on Sunday morning that we are during the rest of the week. And so wearing a mask has us content. I don't think y'all are going to like me this morning. But that's okay. That's all right. That's all right. I'll send myself a Christmas card. Amen. And there are only two purposes that we wear a mask. One is to change our identity. We put on a mask and we come to church so we can look like a Christian.
Yeah.
Around non-Christians, we blend in just fine so we don't have to wear a mask to fit in. And like a chameleon, we secure our mask in place because we want to blend in to our surroundings. After all, the whole purpose of wearing a mask isn't supposed to look like you're wearing one. Amen? If you put your makeup on right, it doesn't look like you have any on. Amen? If you go to a good undertaker, you'll go in there and he'll say they look beautiful. The fact of the matter is they've got a lot of makeup on. But if you do it right, you don't see it.
Come on now.
The purpose of wearing a mask is to actually confuse folks.
Yeah.
Trick people.
Yeah.
The second reason is to hide our identity. We don't want people to see who we really are.
Come on now.
So we put on a mask and we hide who we really are.
Uh-huh.
We're going to talk this morning about the two true truths about the mask that we wear. None of the masks we wear are remotely close to who we really are.
Uh-huh.
If that were true, we wouldn't have to put one on in the first place. We could just say, man, you know, just pray for me. I'm a little short in this area. No, we put on a mask because we want to hide who we really are. And the other point is, none of the masks we wear are remotely close to who God created us to be. So you put on two masks, and one, it takes you far away from who you really are. And the mask does another thing. It takes you even farther away from who God created you to be. Our text is found in Acts 5, 1 through 11. We met two people who wore masks to become something that they weren't. Scripture is powerful, it's meaningful, but it's practical also. And I believe if we were to interpret this scripture, it has several different applications, but today we're going to apply this familiar story to help us remove masks that you and I occasionally wear.
Yeah.
Do you see what happened? Ananias and his wife, they were wearing a mask. They wanted everyone to see them.
That's right. Come on.
They wanted to come up there and throw an offering down at the apostles' feet in the church house and have folks scream and shout, look at what they did. So they put on a mask because they wanted to appear that they were being truthful and faithful to God. Because back in this time, what was happening is the church was supported by folks who were selling off everything that they had.
That's right.
And bringing it, or they would bring it into the church and lay it at the altar.
Yeah.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
So they said, well, you know, let's do this. Let's do it this way.
Yeah.
And we'll still look good.
Yeah,
and we're going to have a mask on that says we're tithers.
Yeah, that's right. Come on.
Uh-oh. All right. Well. They wanted to appear to be something they were not for church folks. The problem with that is you put on a mask so church folks don't see who you are, and the people on the same pew are wearing a mask too.
Yeah. Come on now. Come on. Talk to them.
Pastor wearing a mask.
Yeah.
problem was Peter, through the aid of the Holy Spirit, saw right through their masks.
Yes,
did we not talk about that this morning?
Yeah.
In Sunday school, we were talking about this briefly, kind of went over into this.
Yeah.
Off subject, but it made sense. Sometimes we wear a mask.
Yeah.
And we can say we can fool the people, but we can't fool God. But there's always one. There's always one person in your life who knows who you really are.
Yeah.
They know what's behind that mask.
That's right.
That's why you have no authority with them. And that's why you have no respect for them. Because you put your mask on and we come into the church house and they sitting over there going, if they only knew. I believe some of us say that I can't take off my mask. What will people think if they knew what I was really like?
Come on, talk to them.
But if you want people to really like you, you have to show them who you really are. Amen? Because you can't only live a lie but so long.
That's right. Come on, talk to them.
We were talking this morning in Sunday school that you have to guard your heart.
Because
out of it comes what? The issues of life. So what that means is if you put a mask on, you live like you are not for real.
That's right.
Heart becomes hard.
That's right.
Sooner or later, what's in your heart comes out of your mouth. The people that have come to love you by the mask that you wear are now devastated.
Come on, talk to them.
Some facts about yourself that might want to make you remove your mask or make it a little easier. Fact number one, we're not perfect. Furthermore, we'll never be perfect. I know some of you may be shocked by that, but the truth of the matter is, if one of us had the ability to ever become perfect, Christ would have never had to come. Sin is ugly. It's ugly and it's embarrassing. It's a blemish on our record we don't want to face. Sin is a stain on a new shirt that we're trying to cover up. We don't want anyone else to see it. So what do? We put on a mask.
Come on.
Amen.
We're all sinners. So if someone had shared this thought with Ananias and his wife, their story probably would have had a much different ending. They were trying to mask the ugliness of their greed. The couple we read about, they weren't perfect, so they overcompensated. They worried what other people were thinking about. They did something generous and wonderful, but they were hoping to get recognition and praise for more than they actually did. So they cooked up a scam that would leave them some money on the side, but it would make them appear holy in front of the church. Now, why do you want to appear holy? Appear holy.
Appear.
In front of folks who are also trying to appear holy.
Come on now.
That's why folks who preach the real gospel have small churches.
Because
folks want to hear that your father is rich in houses and land. He don't want you to be poor and everything's going to be all right. They never crack the Bible over. They don't serve communion on Sunday. They don't also know your name.
Preach the thing.
Sin is ugly, and because it's so ugly, we try to hide it. But we're not a perfect people.
No, we're not.
And we should understand this and know it in our heart. Christians across America have a strange idea that when we walk through the door on Sunday morning, we had better have it all together.
Come on.
And nothing is further from the truth.
That's right.
If you wait to get it all together, you'll never get here.
Come on.
Your hair needs to be spiffed up and jail. Your clothes need to look presentable. Your kids should be quiet and you should smile on your face. And for goodness sake, don't come to the altar with tears in your eyes, because folks are going to know, there's something wrong in their house. This kind of mindset keeps us from moving forward. Have you ever felt in your heart, I can't join that church until I get some things right?
Have
you ever said to yourself, I'm working through some stuff. But do you know when you work through that stuff, more stuff is going to come? And if you work through that, some more stuff is going to come. And before you know it, you're going to be on your deathbed trying to get a pastor to come and say a prayer for you.
Come on.
There's always going to be some stuff.
Yes.
Have you ever said, I can't accept the Lord fully because I just don't live all the way right?
Come on.
Newsflash, no one does.
Come on,
from the pulpit to the door.
That's right.
Daily, we all sin.
Yes.
And sometimes we do it on purpose.
Come on,
amen, somebody.
Amen. Come on now. Amen.
I need some time to work things out. So what happens in the meantime, we put on a mask.
Man.
And we pretend.
That's right. Pretend.
Tell the truth.
He won't use you while you have a mask on.
Come on.
You can do it. Did you ever wear a mask? Get it uncomfortable?
Never.
Don't you get hot?
Yes.
Come on.
You can't eat. Mm-hmm. You can't half see.
That's right.
If you wear glasses and try to put a mask on, you can't wear the glasses.
Come on.
Did you ever try to wear a mask?
Yes.
And when you get hot, you take it off? Well. Why don't we try this as a family? Why don't we take our masks off this morning? Mm-hmm.
Come on now.
And why don't we lay it all out?
Yeah.
At the altar.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't need to know what your mask is.
That's right. Come on.
I wear a mask of patience.
Come on.
And the truth of the matter is I get irritated real quick.
Come on.
When things are out of order.
Yeah.
I don't like out of order things. When things are not efficient, I get uptight real quick.
Yes.
If I feel that you're not responding to me quick enough, I get uptight.
Come on.
But when I walk in the door, I put on my patient mask and say, bless you. But when I know. And the truth of the matter is, I want to be like, why are you late?
Yeah.
You had 6 days to get here.
Come on.
Right?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take off your mask. Tell God, here I am.
Here
Use
I am.
Me. Use me for your glory. Use me for your honor. Here am I. I'm bruised. I'm sinful. I'm ugly. I'm dirty. I'm still struggling with some stuff. But here I am. Use me. For many years, this sister over here was my housekeeper. She'd come in once a week to dust and vacuum and clean my house. And I'm going to tell you something I ain't never told her. I used to dread her coming because I had to clean the day before. I'd spend all morning before she would get there straightening stuff up. So when the housekeeper came, the house was clean. What would she think? And she used to say to me all the time, she called me Tim Tim. She'd say, Tim Tim, where's your laundry? Oh, I did it. Because she saw one of my t-shirts had a spot on it, and she threw it out. See, I'm trying to cover it up with another shirt. I was trying to mask it. And she said to me, she said, ain't nothing worse than a man with a dull undershirt. But we act the same way with God, don't we? We talk our way out of our spiritual life by refusing to come to Him as we are. And instead, we decide to wait until we think we're ready to come to God.
I hear you.
We decide that the way we lived yesterday, last week, or last year makes us damaged goods. And until we start living right, we're not really the kind of material that God is looking for. And that is so far from the truth, it ain't even funny.
Come on, talk to us.
We think that how we are, even right now, teetering the fence, wearing a mask on Sunday and then doing something else on Monday, or wearing a mask on Sunday and taking it off and not putting it on until you roll into the house Sunday morning for Saturday night's activities and put on a mask. And you think that God can't use you.
Come on,
but that's actually who He's looking for.
Yeah.
Ask Noah. Noah was a drunk.
Yes.
David couldn't keep his pants on.
That's right.
Moses had a stutter and couldn't speak well in front of
folks.
But he saw something down in them. If they had said, well, I'm just not ready yet. Some of us actually believe that until we choose the correct way to live, we aren't choosable until we clean up our mess. Jesus won't have anything to do with us. The opposite is true. Because one, you can't clean up your mess.
That's right. Come on.
You may have gotten yourself into it, but you cannot get yourself out of it.
Come on.
Did you ever drop a glass on the floor? You cannot, no matter what you do, pick up every broken piece.
Come on.
6 months later, you walk through the kitchen with some bare feet and you get a splinter of a piece of glass in your big toe.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yes,
you can't clean it up yourself.
Yeah.
But you have to admit that you're a mess.
Yeah.
I'm a mess. And Jesus wants to use us in spite of that. Once we admit how unlovely we are and how unattractive we are and how lost we really are, Jesus will show up unexpectedly. According to the New Testament, Jesus is attractive to the unattractive. He prefers lost ones over found ones. If you're in the world, the devil ain't worried about you.
Come on.
You're not attractive to him. You, who's attractive to him? Folks in the church. Without a mask. Amen, boys. He prefers losers over winners. Broken down instead of whole. Messy instead of clean. Crippled instead of non-crippled. Isn't that what Jesus taught us? The sick folks need a doctor. Not the healthy. Amen. We should put into practice what it says to us in 1 John 8-10. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth isn't in us. It didn't say we deceive God, it said we deceive ourselves. So the minute you think that you've got it all together, you had best get on your knees. Amen? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim that we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar. His word has no place in our lives. You may not say it with your mouth that you're a sinner, but our actions, our attitudes, our masks, the places that we go show otherwise. Somebody asked me one day, well, how do you know where you can go and what you can do? I said, it's real simple. Just put Jesus right next to you. If you won't take him into where you're going, you're going in the wrong place. That's common sense. You have to agree with anything else in the Bible. If you won't take Jesus into the bar and sit him down next to you and slug someone back, you're in the wrong place. That just makes sense to me. If you're having a conversation with somebody, or what you're supposed to say, what you're not supposed to say, would you say it in front of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Come on,
now that gets us off, because we all have messed that up.
One,
all right. I guess it's just you and I.
Come on.
We're not perfect. Take off our mask. Number two, we don't have all the answers. It's okay to admit that we need help and we don't have. Not unto your own understanding, in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. What does that mean? In all your ways, acknowledge him. It doesn't say be perfect. It says just acknowledge that God is God. And if you acknowledge him, he will direct your path. Lean on God. When you're struggling and life is tough, what do? Put on a mask and lean on your own strength.
Come on.
Lean on your own knowledge. That's impossible. And frankly, it's dumb. We can't understand our own selves sometimes.
That's right.
I got a letter in the mail from somebody in Easton.
Come on.
Not brave enough to put their return address on.
Come on.
They don't like somebody that is in my employ.
Come on.
Right now. Now take that.
And
I started to address it.
Yeah.
I started to give it some power. I started to give it some importance. And then as soon as I did that, some stuff started running through my head.
Come on, talk.
So ugly that I had to catch myself.
Yeah.
And I had to say to myself, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
I'm talking to me.
Yeah.
Now, if I can't understand some of the things that my own mind says to me, how can I lean on my own understanding to get out of mess?
Yeah.
Lean not unto your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. Lean on the Lord. He's big. And compared to the universe and compared to things in our world, we're small. Lean on God's provisions. What does that mean? God is the God who provides. When life is unraveled, you need to get help. It comes in various forms. It comes from family and friends. It can come from your Sunday school teacher, your youth minister, your elder, your counselor, your preacher. But your help always should be based on the Word of God. Take off the mask.
Hang on.
Because you don't have it all figured out. You say, I have it managed. Do you have a I have it managed mask on this morning? Do you have a mask that says, I can handle this no matter
Come
what?
Come on now.
Is that the mask that you wear
Come
that
on.
Says, here I am, take your best shot?
Come on, come on.
You better be careful. This is a new world we're living in.
That's right. That's right.
We'll shoot you right on the sidewalk in broad daylight.
Yes.
We've had 19 murders in Allentown. The last four have been in broad daylight before 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll leave you right on the sidewalk and keep on moving. You better take off your mask.
Take off your mask.
Do you have it all figured out, mask? Do you have a life of simple mask on? Here's the encouraging thing. We don't know anything about it, but God knows it all.
Yes, he does.
And that's an encouragement that when you take off the mask, he can say, he's not going to say, oh, that's what you really look like. He already knows that. But when you take off the mask, he's going to say, now I can use you.
Yeah.
Now you can be effective in ministry.
Yes,
now you can spread my word.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Fact number three, you aren't like anyone else.
Yeah.
Don't wear a mask to fit in. Take it off. Be who you really are and see who drops off. Shake the tree every once in a while and get the dead leaves out of it. You got to prune a tree if you want it to give good fruit. Amen?
Yeah.
You can't just put a tree in the ground and say, grow apples and let it grow apples year after year. If you don't go in there and shake the dead stuff out of that tree, your fruit will die.
Come on now. Talk to him.
You're unique. Let me ask you, what motivated Ananias and his wife to come up with the scheme? For your answer, you have to flip back one chapter to Acts 4, 32 and 37. All believers were in one heart and one mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions were her own, what was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and grace was upon them all. There were no needy people among them. From time to time, those who owned land and houses sold them, brought the money from the sale, and put it at the feet of the apostle, where it was distributed to everyone they had in need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. So they had just experienced that.
Yes, they did.
And they saw the kind of recognition that Barnabas had gotten.
Yeah.
But see, they had a mask on. They wanted to be more than they were.
Yeah,
but they wanted the same praise that Barnabas had gotten.
Yeah.
See, what is for me is for me.
Yeah.
Based on what the Lord has given you.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
But see, we want what other folks have, but we don't know what it took for them to get where they are.
Yeah.
I have folks who have coveted things that I have, but they don't know what it took to get where I was. They don't know the rock bottom that I had to hit to get up on. Amen?
Yeah.
But they want what I have.
Yeah.
So get your own.
That's right.
No, the Barnabas, we call this the Barnabas effect. Barnabas just sold some land, gave all the money to the church. And they saw how much praise and attention he received, and they wanted it. So they invented a scheme.
Yeah.
To get praise and to get glory.
Yeah.
Put that in the same sentence.
Come on.
You can't do that unless you put a mask on.
Come on now.
You can't be real and put those two words in the same sentence.
Come on now.
The problem was they weren't Barnabas, and no matter how hard they tried, they were never going to beat him.
Right.
There comes a danger, a real danger, when you intimidate someone else's actions, when you haven't imitated Jesus' heart.
Yes, yes, yes. Come on.
You get counterfeit Christians. Uh-oh.
Counterfeit.
We go through the motions and we don't really mean it.
Yeah.
We come into church and we shout.
Yeah.
We can't hear what the preacher said because we shouted.
Yeah.
But we didn't talk.
Come on, come on, come on.
Well,
talk to us.
I didn't say it, the Bible said it. I don't need the money. I got my own.
Come on, talk to us.
Jesus has plenty to say to us about acting. Matthew 6, Jesus is preaching his famous sermon on the side of a mountain. He's giving a warning to those who are going through the actions, trying to be like everybody else. And he called them hypocrites.
Yeah.
The word hypocrite appears 17 times in the New Testament. And all 17 times it was used by Jesus himself.
Yeah.
In Matthew 6 and 2, Jesus warns against giving just to be seen by everyone. Keep it.
Yeah.
If you don't want to give it to the work of the church and give it so God can be glorified,
come on.
If you don't want to do that, you just want to be seen, keep it.
That's right.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
In Matthew 6 and 5, Jesus warns against praying just to be seen by men.
Come on.
In Matthew 6 and 16, Jesus warns against fasting for the attention of everybody else.
Uh-huh.
If I'm going to give up a meal, y'all have seen me without a robe on. I don't miss a meal.
Come on.
I'm not giving up a meal just to say, ooh, the pastor fasted for 5 days. I'm going to get me some Popeyes, and I'm going to pray for y'all from the kitchen.
Come on.
Jesus makes it plain for us to go through the motions of being holy just to be recognized by men. You've already received your reward.
That's right.
If you're faking it down here, the only admonition, the only recognition, the only honor, the only glory, the only praise you're going to get is what you get right here. Because when you stand before the Lord, he's going to say, get away from me. I never knew you. Have you ever tried to imitate the spiritual actions of someone else? How'd that work out for you? Have you ever met a preacher? Have you ever been to a church that you can't tell what it is?
Come on now.
One Sunday is African.
Uh-huh.
Next Sunday it's poor folks. Next Sunday it's wealthy folks. Next Sunday it's political folks. The next Sunday it's endangered folks. The next Sunday is orphans. The next Sunday is this. Have you ever been to some place that's not consistent?
Come on, talk to them.
That's trying to imitate the actions of someone else because they have something that you think that you need.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk to these folks over here because I need their vote. Amen, somebody. I'm going to talk to them, but now when I get the vote, I don't need them anymore.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to come over here and talk to these folks. Uh-huh. And then you end up with a church that's always in flux.
Yeah.
People always leaving.
Yeah.
They come for a spell, and then when they realize you don't need them anymore, they go on somewhere else. That's imitation. That's being a hypocrite.
Come on now.
It's play acting.
Preach.
Yeah.
Hypocrisy consists in attempting to imitate in front of the people of God or to assume the appearance of being religious to get from them what you need.
Yeah.
Without actually surrendering wholly to the will of God. We need to realize that we're not like everyone else. And we need to stop trying to be that way. If you don't like the kind of music that we play here, then go to a church where you like it. Because I'm not going to change what the Lord has given us to make folks happy and complacent. If you don't like the way the preacher preaches, get up and go somewhere where you can be fed.
Yeah.
Don't put on a mask and sit there because you think it's good to be there.
Come on, talk to him.
Well, amen, somebody.
Hey.
I know it's ugly this morning, but the truth oftentimes is ugly.
Come on.
Some of us are more mature than others. Some of us are farther along in our faith than others. Faith takes time to grow.
Yes, it does.
But you can't start the process until you take off the mask.
That's right. Come on.
You need to be around those who are more spiritually mature.
Yeah.
You need to give grace for those who aren't.
That's right. Grace.
So they can get where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, you're an unfinished product. Take off your mask. It's okay. We know that God ain't through with you yet.
That's right.
Take off your mask. And if people don't like who you really are, you just keep being you.
Yeah. Right.
I was so glad when I got to a place where I didn't care anymore. I can't tell you how liberating and how freeing that
free.
Is. When you get to a place where you can take off your mask, say, here am I, use me, and not care what anybody else has to say.
Uh-huh.
I can tell you this, when I go to sleep, I sleep like a log. Bam!
Because
I ain't worried about what they say, what people think.
That's right.
I'm worried about when I stand before the Lord, will he look at me and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's all you need to be worried about.
Amen.
And you know, I want to have a decent funeral.
Come on now.
Y'all should want to have a decent home going.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You should want somebody to be able to tell your story and not have to stand up here try to remember your name because the last time they saw you was 15 Christmases ago.
Okay.
Come on. You need to live in a way. You need to take off your mask so when you leave here, the preacher can stand over you and your life can speak for itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Are you satisfied with your spiritual life? In other words, are you satisfied with where you're at today in regards to your spiritual growth?
Uh-huh.
Your answer should be no.
Hallelujah.
It should be no. You should never be satisfied.
Right.
God has so much, we should never be completely full.
That's right.
Well,
Talk to him. Talk to him.
Becoming Christ-like, mm-hmm. is a never-ending journey. But you can't start while you're wearing the mask. If I said we're going to another church to fellowship next Sunday, and I want you all to be here, we're leaving at 3 o'clock, and if y'all came here with Halloween masks on, I'd leave you all right here.
Yeah. Come on. Come on. Talk to
us. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Show us the real you. Show us how far God has brought you already.
Yeah.
Isn't that all right?
That's all right.
The Bible has much to say about being unfinished. Philippians 1 and 6, Paul writes, be confident of this, that he who begun a good work in you will carry on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. You're not done yet. We're not baked all the way through. We're still gooey in the middle.
Yeah.
Amen. You can make a cake, you can take it out of the oven, but if you didn't cook it long enough, all it is a mask. It just looks good.
Yeah.
Good for nothing.
Good.
Can't eat it. Can't give it away.
Come on.
Amen. That's what a mask does. It gives the appearance of you being finished and you being complete.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Y'all missed that.
Ain't done.
Philippians 3 and 12. Not that I have already obtained all of this or I have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Jesus Christ took hold of in me. And I'm closing because we have communion, but no matter how much you've grown, I say you, I'm gonna come back and I'm gonna put myself in there. Because we're all in this together, amen. No matter how much we've grown, there is still need for us to grow more, amen. No matter how mature we are, we never stop maturing. And no matter how unspiritual we are, as long as we want to grow more, Jesus will show up in life, even of the messiest of us all. I know it to be true because Jesus did it for me, amen. I'm not just telling you what I've heard over the years. I was a mess.
Come on, come on.
And I still have some messy days.
Come on, come on.
So do you, amen.
Yeah.
If you have a pastor and he ain't never been through nothing, you ought to get you one that's been through something.
Come on.
Because nobody can tell you the way unless they've already been there.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
I ask you this morning, who are you? Who has God created you to be? Now that we've come to a part of our service where there is time to you for you to make a decision, I dare you today, remove your mask.
Remove your mask.
And be real.
Yeah.
Won't you walk the altar this morning? Come to the altar. Take off your mask and say, here am I, Lord, use me.
Yes.
Take off your mask and step out on faith and stop worrying about what other folks are going to say.
Yeah.
When you stand before Jesus, you're going to stand there alone.
Yeah.
That's the real truth. All of the people and things that we worry about, it really doesn't mean nothing. Because we're only here for a short time.
Yeah.
And when eternity is forever.
Yeah.
And forever. And then forever, it's going to keep on going some more.
Yeah.
We can't even comprehend that because everything on this earth has a finite plan.
Right.
We can't comprehend what forever means. Amen?
Amen.
We can't comprehend that. If you go to Red Lobster right now, praise God. They have all you can eat shrimp, never ending shrimp, $7.99. We can't comprehend that because at some point we're going to get full.
Yeah.
Amen. We can't wrap our head around it.
That's
and they know that. They know they're going to lose on some of the big boys that go in there. But when some of the regular folks go in there, they think they're going to be all right.
Yeah.
But heaven and hell is forever.
Yeah.
And we don't talk about that. We talk about heaven. We talk about streets paved with gold, and we talk about how there's mansions waiting up there for me. And yes, there is, but you've got to get there.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is, if you don't get there, you will die and you will go to hell.
Yeah.
You cannot live one thing and die another.
That's right.
You will die with the mask that you have on. But you will answer for what was behind the mask.
That's right. Yes.
So stop worrying about folks.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Find yourself repeating the same mistakes. Do you find yourself repeating the same mistakes over and over again? Do you find yourself in a financial situation over and over again? That means you're doing something wrong.
Come on.
Come on now.
Talk to us.
If you are in the same place in your career that you were 15 years ago, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
If you are the same place in your life where you were 5 years ago, you are doing something wrong.
Yeah.
If you have not grown, if the people around you have not grown, you need to change your environment.
Yeah.
You can't take career advice from a 50-year-old who folds jeans at the mall for a living.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
If the people in your social circle have not grown,
amen,
you need to change your circle.
That's right.
But to do that, you've got to take off a mask and say, listen, I've been hanging out with y'all for how many years?
Come on now.
Y'all ain't done nothing. I got to get around some people that have been where I am, but I want to be where they are now.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
But in order to do that, you've got to take off your mask this morning.
Come on.
God will meet you right where you are.
Yes, he will.
Is there one this morning? The doors of the Lord's house are open. Don't you know that God will step right in? He'll supply your needs according to his riches.
Yes, he will.
In glory. At this time, we're going to say goodbye to our online friends, because this is personal.
Yes.
And we don't need the altar faces full all over for the internet. So as we close that broadcast, the doors are open. If there is something on your heart, you need to come at this time. And not worry about folks.
Yeah.
Not worry about what people think.
Yeah.
Not worry about what they're going to say.
Yeah.
Not waiting to get right, because you're never going to get right.
Right.
Is there one this morning?
Come on, talk to them.
If there's one, you may come. If you're seeking membership, you may come. If you want to be a part of this body of believers, come on down. We'll meet you right where you are. If you need to rededicate your life, come.